Dear brothers and sisters online and on-site, peace be with you. Thank God for blessing our church's hiking trip yesterday, keeping brothers and sisters safe on the way there and back, and allowed us to enjoy God's beautiful creation in this beautiful fall season. We experienced the love among brothers and sisters. God created everything. We just read in the scripture. God created mankind. And he provided all that he created for humans to enjoy. Enjoy and manage. For what? Let me state it again. God created everything. He created mankind. And he provided all that he created for humans. For what? It's to enjoy and manage. All for the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So everything he created is to glorify his name. We know there's all kinds of disasters. As we admire the nature God created, Florida encountered a once-in-a-century hurricane, Milton, couple of days ago. It was reported that the damage and casualties caused by this hurricane, along with the mass evacuation of residents, are historically rare. So I have a question for you. Why does the beautiful world that God created keep experiencing disasters after disasters? Was God created beautiful? Yes, as we have seen in Genesis 1. So why can't the people created by God live in peace? Instead, engaging in endless killing of each other. Why? Why things like this has been happening? So how can we as Christians face wars, famines, plagues, and various disasters? What attitudes can we have when we face those disasters? Or should we just ignore them? So today we will discuss how should I face disasters? Let us first bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and may all the glory be to you. We are thankful because you let us to get to know you. We are thankful because you washed our sins with your only son's precious blood. We're thankful that we get to come to church to praise you and sing songs and give thanks to you and pray together. We're thankful for your love and your name that allowed us to follow you. And we're hopeful and confident that we can look upon on you and to study your words and to fully understand your words and bury our hearts so we don't sin against you. We thank you and may all the glory be to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, disasters. Brothers and sisters, is the Lord Jesus really about to return soon? We have been seeing asking these questions for 2,000 years, especially right after Jesus gone back to heaven. But 2,000 years later, he has not returned yet. So people are not watchful. But my answer is yes. Why? Because before the return of the Lord Jesus, there will be continuous occurrence of various great disasters. All have recorded in the Bible, either has already happened or is about to happen. Earthquakes, famines, plagues, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, tsunamis, wars, and other disasters are happening, taking countless lives away. The Lord Jesus repeatedly warned his disciples about the disasters that would occur on earth before his return. He said that before his return, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against these people. One is disaster and one is wrath. Where are they coming from? Today, we see humanity facing unprecedented trials of disasters with natural and man-made calamities intensifying. Disasters that kill dozens or hundreds of people are becoming common, and people seem to be getting used to it. Disasters causing the death of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, or even tens of millions are occurring. For example, on December 26, 2004, the Indian Ocean tsunami instantly swallowed 300,000 lives. It was reported in a magazine in Germany, one of the most well-known magazines were reporting on the tsunami. One picture about German millionaires who were there at the time, and the picture was on their dead body. It was terrifying, even though they were millionaires. On May 12, 2008,汶川earthquake caused over 400,000 casualties. In 2019, the COVID-19 pandemic caused countless deaths, reportedly taking the lives of tens of millions. The tornado and hurricane that struck Florida just 3 days ago caused uncountable deaths, destruction of houses, and financial losses, which are still being assessed. It is said that on October 9th alone, even before the hurricane even made landfall, there were as many as 16 typhoons in the area, and potentially more than 16, taking over 200 lives. The ongoing Russia and Ukraine war has displaced tens of millions and caused countless deaths on the battlefield. The conflicts between Israel and Hamas and Israel and Hezbollah are escalating with the potential to ignite full-scale war. Countless lives have been lost, countless homes have been destroyed, and countless families have been torn apart. Moreover, countless people have been displaced, starving, and even lacking access to clean drinking water. They're living this kind of lives in a modern society. So, brothers and sisters, this is what is happening around us today. In front of disasters, human life appears so fragile, humanity so helpless, and science so powerless. People seem to have gotten used to it. While we lament the unpredictability of life, we cannot help but ask, do humans really have a way to avoid disasters? We can rack our brains. We can rack our brains trying to find ways to overcome disasters. But can we triumph over nature? In front of disasters, people are terrified and we don't know what to do. We urgently need to return to the Bible because the Bible holds the answer to all questions. The world does not believe in God or the Bible, so it does not seek truth. Instead, it looks for human answers, and they try to figure things out with their human brains. But as God's children, we must stand on the truth of His word. No matter how unpredictable the events or how difficult the questions, we must return to the Bible. Brothers and sisters, in times of prosperity, it is easy to be thankful for God's care in our lives. But in times of adversity, a believer's faith can easily be shaken, leading to doubts. So, what should we do? We need to know that there's another challenge. Satan does not cease his work. He spreads lies to confuse and increase our doubts about God. Will the Lord Jesus truly return? We've been asking this question for 2,000 years. Or is this just a vague and distant fantasy of Christians? Do I really need to be alert and do I really need to pray? Or should I wait and see? I have a personal experience. Right before we were leaving, after the trip yesterday, we know that there were a lot of newcomers yesterday, even more than members of NCBC, and there were about 150 people attended the trip. We're very thankful that a lot of people who are seeking God attended. And we were able to help them to experience the love of God even without talking. Someone came up to me and told me that they have experienced a happiness and peace during the hiking trip yesterday that they have never experienced before. They could not describe the loving atmosphere they experienced yesterday. I'm very thankful. It was not from the food or from the hike or the weather, but many of them came up to me and told me that about the love they experienced yesterday. And I wanted to share this great news with you, especially those high schoolers from Chattanooga. On their way back, they said that it was amazing, to sing songs together and to pray together One of them said, "Oh, I really wish I get to read the Bible." And Sister Yunjie said she will prepare Bibles to send to them. So we spread God's amazing gospel to them without our knowing. And we saw all those brothers and sisters from their love for God, that they barbecued and prepared food and made coffees and did all those things yesterday. Why? To spread God's love and to glorify His name. It was a very successful trip. We need to know that before Jesus' return, we need to fill in the people that will be saved. So when Jesus spoke of the signs of the end times in Luke 21, he clearly mentioned that before his return, there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Here, the Lord teaches his disciples that a series of events will happen before his return. These events include natural disasters and calamities caused by humans, such as earthquakes and also wars, such as famines, pestilences, and supernatural signs and wonders from the heavens. A lot of things we don't understand. Are there aliens? Are there UFOs? We don't understand. God created human on earth. Outside the earth, God also created angels and heaven. So those supernatural signs, the Lord is telling all who follow him that as the end times draw closer, these events will occur more frequently. Do not be like those who live in pleasure, oblivious and unwatchful. We're caught by sudden disasters and trapped in fear. So, what should we do? We need to be watchful. If we were in the middle of Florida, we might even have a physical church. How can we get together? So, seeing all those disasters, that's a reminder for us to be watchful. Otherwise, what would be happen? When disasters happen, we will be caught off guard and will be trapped. According to the Bible, there will be four frequent calamities in the last days. These four calamities are sword, famine, wild beast, and pestilence. These disasters will take the lives of one quarter of the Earth population. What is the concept of one quarter? Based on today's population, that would be nearly 2 billion people. Some may ask, isn't this just a fictional story? Or is it merely a human prediction? No, this is God's revelation. It is a fact that will certainly occur. Everyone knows that the two world wars alone claimed nearly 100 million lives. This is not a joke. It is a matter of life and death for humanity, brothers and sisters. What then is the cause of these disasters? That's the question I asked at the beginning of the sermon. All God created are wonderful. So why this wonderful earth are experiencing such terrible disasters? A short answer is that these disasters are brought by humanity's own sin. God didn't create sin. God is perfect. It was brought by humanity's own sin and the devil's influence behind it. The only reason behind these disasters is sin. Where there is sin, there are consequences of sin. You may ask, are those permitted, approved by God? People like to find excuses, and people tend to blame God, especially when they are suffering, and they ask God, why did you do this to us? When you are doing well, you think, oh, I did all this, but when you're suffering, you blame God. You could say that all disasters are God's means to judge sin. One more time. All disasters are God's means to judge sin. We need to know the difference between sinners and sin. We cannot say that we hate sinners and we're not gonna spread gospel among sinners. That is wrong. Everyone who doesn't believe in God are sinners. And people who believe in God are sinners, being cleaned by Jesus' blood. God loves sinners and God hates sin. God loves sinners. He loves people. So he gave us his only son to save us. But God hates sin. So all disasters are God's means to judge sin. But please note, evil does not come from God, but from sin and from Satan. It's from our selfishness. But it must have passed through God's permission before it can happen. Everything that's happening and have happened are permitted by God. Another way to put this is that punishing sin is the inevitable manifestation of justice. Otherwise, God wouldn't be just. But in the course of history, punishing sin not only reveals justice, it is also God's loving call to sinners headed for hell. God is saying, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? This is God's loving call. God is loving. Brothers and sisters, the God we believe in is good. The God we believe in is the source of mercy. He did not create humanity to destroy them. but to bless them. After man headed toward self-destruction because of their own sin, God didn't say, "Oh, I failed." No. Instead, God unfolded his great plan of salvation. What is it? It's a plan for salvation. He has a plan. How was this plan manifested to us? It's not through our work. No. God doesn't save good people, God saves sinners. How is this salvation manifested? God upholds human survival with grace. With the purpose of allowing people to receive his special grace. All along, he punishes sin, but not to destroy people, but to awake sinners through punishment so they repent and accept salvation. That's the first point I want to make. Second, brothers and sisters, do not think that war will not happen around us. War breaking out, economic collapse, widespread famine, and rampant plagues, and even heavier disasters could happen at any time across the world. We must always be prepared, so that we're not caught off guard when the time comes. The Lord Jesus himself warned us, saying, "For it will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth." Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Brothers and sisters, if we're not used to seeing these disasters, you may say, "Oh, Pastor John, please say something good. How can we be more like Abraham? How can we be more like Job?" Let me tell you, that's fake gospel. The true gospel is what's said by Jesus: be watchful. So if we are not used to seeing these disasters, and we're not used to hear those harsh messages, it is for no other reason but because we do not know the Bible or do not believe it. Those who have no faith only know how to feast and enjoy this life. But when they encounter disaster, they will immediately freak out and fall into despair. You may ask, why must humanity face disasters? A simple answer is that the answer is, oh, God didn't ask you for your opinion when he created human. That's not the reason. It is because disasters are the punishment of the world, and disasters are also a test for the church. I'll say this one more time. Disasters are the punishment of the world and the test for the church, because the world belongs to Satan. In the face of disaster, the true and false are immediately discerned. Why? Because a false faith will collapse and reveal its true nature in the face of disaster. Brothers and sisters, in recent years, the various disasters we have seen is far from over. On the contrary, this is merely a prelude to a great disaster. The purpose of this prelude is to remind us, as long as we live in a world of sin, suffering is inevitable. As we are living in this sinful world, we will experience those disasters. You may ask, we're Christians, do we need to experience those disasters? Yes, because the Lord Jesus have said, in this world, we will have tribulation, but in Him, we have peace. In John chapter 33, verse 16. Brothers and sisters, on whom do we place our sense of security? If we hope that there will be no disasters in this world and place our security in the world, then we're making a huge mistake, a fundamental mistake. The only true source of security for Christians is in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no true peace or joy. I'll say this one more time. Outside of Christ, there is no true peace or joy. You may say, oh, I want to live in the In the face of various disasters, how should we as Christians act in order to gain God's favor? Lord Jesus told us, in the face of disaster, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. See, it's not that, oh, I am a Christian, so God will protect me. It's not like that. What did Jesus tell us? Be always on the watch and always pray so that we can be able to escape. What does that mean? We need to be humble, to fear God, repent, trust, and obey. Please remember, only by humbling ourselves, can we see our shortcomings? So only by humbling ourselves, we can be watchful. The proud do not need to be watchful. Why? Because pride is making oneself the master. What does it mean to be humble? Oh, what does it mean to be proud? It means to make everything about yourselves. God, please protect me. God, please bless me. So what do people with humility do? They make God Jesus the master. So not seeing yourself as a master in your heart is true humility. What does it mean to be humble? It is to be humble your whole body. Don't think that you know everything. Don't love yourself. So a humble person acknowledges that he's created, limited, and weak. And without the creator, they cannot even take a breath. You need to think that we cannot do anything without God, cannot even take a breath. We have to keep those mentality in our heart and acknowledge that we know nothing and do not dare to be stubborn in our own opinions. Always letting our reason submit to the truth. This is the most blessed people. But it is very hard because we are smart. We are too smart and we think that we're smarter than God and always be stubborn in our own opinion. Only humble people can understand that it is very important to be watchful. Only by humbling ourselves can we realize that I thought I already know everything and did not need to be watchful. And I thought I knew everything and that was pleasing to Lord. That is wrong. In reality, I know nothing. A lot of times, and a lot of people, the longer a person has believed in the Lord, the longer they have this problem. The tragedy of man lies in pride. Pride. In times of smooth sailings, it is easy to disregard heaven and ignore God's grace and mercy and abandon God's grace. We believe that the good weather and peace and prosperity are the result of our own effort. We thought wealth comes from our own provision. What did God say? He said that you cannot bring those wealth to heaven. So it is wrong to think that we can provide everything just by ourselves. Instead, God, who created everything, does not exist in your heart when you think that way. If you think that you can provide for yourself, then the Lord, who created everything and protects everything and judge everything, will be pushed out of your heart. If you take the wealth and treasures on this world as the most important thing in your life, then you will push the Most High God out of your life. And that is sad. So, in the face of disaster, we must have a heart of reverence. Reverence for whom? Reverence for the earth? Reverence for the disaster? No. But reverence for the one behind the disaster, who gives blessings and brings calamities, establishes kings and dethrones kings. Put Jesus Christ in the center of your heart, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. the Most High God. Many times, even believers lose the reverence they should have for God, treating the words of the Lord Jesus as mere wind passing their ears. Although the Lord Jesus clearly said that he would come again, some people think it is impossible, and that is a myth. So why do people lose their reverence for God? Why? The root cause is that they have lost the understanding of God's justice. They think God is mercy. They think God is only mercy and is a people pleaser. No. God not only is loving and is merciful, God is also justice. So if you lose the pursuit of holiness and lose the awareness of sin and judgment, then you would no longer revere God. So I want to urge you, when you watch videos or listen to podcasts about God, some of them may mislead you into thinking that God is only merciful. And when you misunderstand that, when you ignore God's justice, when you misunderstand God's salvation, it's very hard to come back to the right way. And you will lose your reverence for God. The disasters in the world today are calling for the wicked to turn from their evil deeds, to reject idols and turn to the true God. They're also calling for the real Christians to no longer sleep, to reflect, renew, and bear the cross. Trust and obey. On one hand, obeying the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the Bible, and on the other hand, following the Holy Spirit's guidance through grace. We need both. We should pray constantly, which means to pray in various ways at all times. Prayer is the beginning of all actions. It is also the assurance of receiving God's promises. I'll say this one more time. Prayer is the beginning of all action. Don't do anything without praying first. It is also the assurance of receiving God's promises. God wants his children to pray. Is it because God doesn't know what they need? God wants his children to pray. Is that because God doesn't know what they need? No. Rather, he wants to use this to promote his children's reliance on him. And after God answers their prayers, so that this can bring glory to God. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus will surely come again, as he has said, "I am coming soon." For those with a healthy spiritual life, it is the same whenever Christ returns. And they have already experienced the true meaning of the Lord's return in spiritual reality. The primary task in welcoming the Lord's return is to be watchful. So we should be watchful always. Everything we do, everything we think, is to welcome Lord and to bring glory to Lord Jesus. So that in front of Lord, we don't need to worry. A lot of things will happen before the return of Lord Jesus. All of this happening, we will experience the wonder, the plan and love of God. Epilogue. Brothers and sisters, facing the end times, we must pay attention to every form of disaster while constantly reflecting on ourselves, seizing the time to be watchful and pray. The last judgment begins with the house of God. The cross is a tool for purification. God will use suffering to purify his kingdom. There was persecution in the past. Now there are disasters, and we don't know what awaits us next. May we be careful and self-controlled, watchful in prayer, and seize God's grace. Not weighed on by gluttony, drunkenness, revelry, and the worries of life on this world. How should I face disasters? Various disasters come one after another. Be watchful and prepare without delay. May God bless everyone. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and salvation. Thank you for the promises and warning signs. So that we can receive your grace and blessing. At the same time, may we keep your words and be watchful and have a fearful heart at all times to do the work of your salvation. And that when we face you, we can have the happiness and peace from you. Lord, please add the number of people who are saved. And help us to pray for those who haven't been saved. And give us ability to do your work and fight the good fight. Thank you. May all the glory be to you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.